I don't know shit about fuck.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you wherever you are, because it is a morning somewhere for April 5th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns. A little fast on the drop of the music there. Joining me, as always, sitting right over there. If you want to stop her, you're going to have to fucking kill her. Ashley Burns, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
I can't even do that line with the same gravitas that she does it. We'll talk about
no one can.
Julia Garner being cast as the not Silver Surfer in the new Fantastic Four movie in a second. But I just want to say, Ash, we're on the road today. People might be able to tell the difference of we're recording in a new space right now, but hopefully not. We've got all of our same mics and everything like that, so we'll see.
It's kind of fun recording on the go. It makes me feel scrappy.
We took a trip down to Edinburgh. What does Edinburgh mean? Does it mean city of heaven? Is Eden?
Borough of Eden?
Like Cityburg? Or excuse me, Heavenburg? As opposed to Pittsburgh, which is like armpit city?
I know, but I love Edinburgh. It's like so magical.
Arguably the reason why we landed in Scotland, because it's just like, to me, it's, I don't have a favorite city in the world, but this is really, really close. It's proper medieval. We talked about Aberdeen being gray. I don't think I said at the time, I love Aberdeen. Like, I love all the stone buildings. We just don't have stuff like that in the US, you know, or at least where we are. We have all in Texas, like white limestone buildings. It's just not the same.
White limestone. And everyone got really into that sort of like intentional rust look. Got like, it's going to rust anyway. So let's just get pre-rusted metal. It's got like a specific name, like some
Corten
sort of
steel.
Corten steel. There we go. And everything is like comes pre-rusted. So it's white and rust.
Yeah. But it's nice because we're here. We're here for a couple of days. It's kind of hard to explain, but, you know, there's a lot of public health care in the UK. But like dentists, most people go private dentists. And so what we did was, because we're out in the country, we choose like a week a year or 2 weeks a year, but like a week at a time, 6 months apart, where we come down to Edinburgh and we just do all of our healthcare stuff at that point in time.
Yeah, do healthcare. It's also a good opportunity to do some shopping.
Yeah, or just like today we went out and we had breakfast. Like we just walked out of our place, went to a cafe and had breakfast. We don't get to do that. I love the way we have it where we are, where we have all family meals. We sit around a table. And occasionally we go out to like some restaurants and things like that, but it's pretty rare. We go to the pub and that kind of thing.
It's an occasion, whereas this was, we need breakfast, let's go.
Yeah, and it was nice because we just stopped at the pastry shop, stopped at the bakery. That was all great stuff.
I wonder how it works out, the balance, because when you're in the city, I feel like we would eat out a lot more, but we would walk a lot more. Does that even out fitness-wise?
I think it does. Man, I really do. Like every time I went to New York, when we'd go visit for Rooster Teeth, I would had this thing where I would not pass a pizza place. Like if we went past a pizza place, I would go in and get a slice of pizza. And I would do that.
New York, I feel like you're stopping a lot.
We're stopping a lot. And I would eat like 8 slices of pizza a day sometimes, and I would still walk all that off. I'd come back like 4 or 5 pounds lighter.
Nice work.
Which you hate, because I like my weight goes boom, 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 up and down. And you're like, if you lose 4 pounds, it's a much bigger deal for someone at your weight.
Yeah,
than
you'll,
it is for
you'll
me.
Walk in the room and go, I lost 5 pounds. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
That's like 4 months of work for you. But I absolutely love it. It's great to be able to go around. But I was thinking today at breakfast, like I ordered what I order for breakfast. And we had a situation recently where someone made us breakfast, one of our friends, and we didn't eat the black pudding. And they said, oh, do you not like black pudding? And I said, no, it's weird. At breakfast, it's the one meal where you can eat literally the same thing every day for breakfast. And it's not weird at all. Like I have literally the exact same things on my plate every single morning for a year. That's totally fine.
It doesn't get monotonous. It's breakfast.
And why is breakfast like that? And other meals are not like that.
Maybe we're not conscious enough to object by that point. We're still waking up, and we'll just, whatever you put in front of me, it's fuel right now.
Okay, should we talk about Julia Garner being cast as Shala Ball in the new Fantastic Four movie?
Please, because I don't know a lot about Fantastic Four. I basically just like what I've seen of Jessica Alba, and I find it a little bit confusing. So all the headlines that I'm seeing are saying that Julia Garner has been cast as a Shala Ball Silver Surfer, which, as I understand it, is not the traditional Marvel Universe Silver Surfer.
I think they want to gender flip Silver Surfer, and they don't want to say that. So they're making a justification for all the YouTube videos that people think are going to come out. once again, I think we're all getting completely fatigued with Marvel. And it's to this point now where when an announcement like that is made, a lot of the announcements people reporting on it are saying, get ready for everyone to get upset about it. It's like we're having like the pre-rage before the unjustified rage. I don't think anybody cares at this point. I mean, it's like if Silver Surfer's, we've already had Silver Surfer on screen in the Jessica Alba one. I'm actually more concerned about how they represent Galactus because Silver Surfer is related to this big, like, Titan level hero. It's like as big as a mountain, the actual character who comes and then consumes planets. And Silver Surfer is his one of his heralds who comes beforehand and like.
So I have questions about that. Are they popping in to be like, hey, everybody, fatten up. You're about to be an appetizer. Like, it just, why do you need a herald if you just go around eating planets? Why do you need to go tell the planets that they're food? It'd be like going out to the pasture and being like, hey, you cow, get ready.
Well, kind of, yeah. Well, it's kind of like being a scout. Like, he shows up and like gets, he's like getting stuff ready for Galactus to come and eat, you know?
What, like making sure that we're all medium well?
Sure, you know, like there's no paparazzi. that kind of thing. You know, just getting people prepped for, you know, their planet being consumed by this gigantic villain. Or yeah, not villain. He's kind of like this. He's so big, he's not a villain
like he,
or
he
a hero.
He transcends morality because we really are just a little bite.
Yeah, and the big thing is like when heroes try to attack him, he's just so gigantic. It's just like, they're like gnats to him, essentially. Like he doesn't even regard what he's doing, essentially.
Great, can't wait.
But he's got other heralds too. Shala Ball, if I recall correctly, and I'm sure I don't, she was the love interest of the actual Silver Surfer, Norrin Rad. And he made a deal with Galactus, don't eat my planet, and then I'll become your servant. And that spared Shala Ball. So now they're kind of just flipping that story, which is totally fine, right?
Okay,
yeah. Sure. Also, it's like funny because the minor rage I've seen from the typical people over this is like, oh my God, I can't believe there's a female Silver Surfer. This is completely wrong. And the people go, you know, Silver Surfer is naked and silver the whole time. Like, well, let's see how this turns out.
Maybe this one will be okay.
But Julia Garner is absolutely amazing. She, most people would know her as Ruth Langmore from Ozark.
And even if you want to stop me, you're going to have to fucking kill me.
God, that reading. Who could do like a line reading like that? That is wild.
It is like it is a line that transcends the material in that even if you know absolutely nothing about Ozark, you know that line and you've probably, if you haven't seen it, you've at least heard it, but you've probably like seen it and you can see like veins on her face. When they were filming that, you know that everyone around her must have been like, oh my God, I'm witnessing magic.
I was
right
thinking
now.
The exact same thing. So at the end of that scene in Ozark, when she says that, she's saying that to Jason Bateman's character, who's lead in Laura Linney's there as well. She then storms out of the room. And it's one of those things, one of those situations on set where you're like waiting for the director to call cut. And as soon as they do, it's like, what did we just see? Like sometimes people just show up on set some days and it's just like what they bring. And sometimes it can be like the fourth or fifth take. But when you see it, you know, it's like, holy shit, that was amazing.
Like that was brilliant.
That must have been one of those moments for sure. But I was thinking, too, when we were talking about Galactus being, you know, having these heralds, I was thinking about other Marvel villains like Thanos. Like Thanos has his henchmen and essentially Galactus has these kind of same things. Like he has Silver Surfer and he has a guy called Fire Lord. And then there's somebody else as well. But it made me start to think is like, are these guys like good bosses? Like, was Thanos a good boss? I know Thanos was a bad father.
Like, what's the office churn rate? I mean, aside from, of course, the 50% that Thanos laid off quite unexpectedly.
Oh, right. At any moment, he could lay off 50% of the people. Yeah. You know, that actually would have been a good moment if at the end, like some of the henchmen had survived. And when Thanos did the snap, if he snapped like one of his own henchmen, then they would have been like, what the fuck?
Right, because he did show that he was willing to sacrifice anything and everything in order to get this done. And that would have
been. So he's a driven, he has a vision as a CEO. He's there. His big henchman did get his arm cut off, right, by Wong when he was fighting Hulk or not Hulk. And when he came back later, he did have the robot arm. So they get healthcare.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. They got good benefits.
They do. Well, the one guy had his own ship that Iron Man and Spider-Man were on, so company car.
Okay.
So was Thanos a good boss? I don't know.
Not a great retirement policy.
Probably not. Probably not. And if 50% of the population dies, does your salary essentially go up by 50% at that point in time?
Yeah. Do we get inflation or deflation?
There's opportunity for advancement. All right. Should we talk about follow-up Friday?
let's do. It is Friday. We do follow up on Friday.
Yeah, we should get a theme for follow up Friday. All right. What do we have to follow up for the week?
I've got a quick one. This is about determining the date of Easter. We talked a little bit about this and you said it's very complicated. Spooky Peach on Instagram would like you to know that it's not quite as complicated as you're making it out to be.
Oh, really?
There's a fairly straightforward way of figuring out when Easter is going to be. Easter is on the first Sunday after the full moon following the spring equinox.
That's so much easier. Was it Spooky Peach?
Spooky Peach.
Thank you, Spooky Peach. That was so much easier. So now when I want to know when Easter is, I'll just, let's bust out our sextants. It's about to get super easy, the way to calculate it. Here's how I like to calculate Easter, Ash. Starting in the spring, what I do is every Friday, I kill a guy. And then I just you know, I tuck him in a tomb on Friday.
Where do you get the tomb?
I got a tomb guy. We're in Scotland, man. You kick a rock, you get a tomb.
Just like lightly used.
So put him in the tomb on Friday. Do that once a week. And then if I look up on Sunday and there's a guy in the front lawn going, what's going on? I go, hey, it's Easter. We're good to go. Let's have candy eggs, everybody.
There are eggs about.
All right. All right. So good. So now I have an easy way to calculate Easter. What is that? That is the first full moon, the Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. Christ almighty. No, sorry, that shouldn't have said that to wrap that one up.
Well, that's what you say when he comes out and you're like, oh, it must be Easter.
All right. I had one where we were talking about Sam Bankman-Fried, who got sentenced on Monday. We were talking about on the Monday podcast. I don't know why I never made this correlation, but FTX, his business, collapsed in everywhere that I looked. Like the bankruptcy was November of 2022 is essentially what they're saying. And I went and looked at the price of Bitcoin in November 2022 because I never really made the relationship between the rise in the price of cryptocurrency and the fall of FTX because there was a big dip. And if we'd have held on, what would that have meant? In November of 2022, Bitcoin specifically, which is not really FTX, but I think it's a good kind of litmus test for the overall cryptocurrency market.
Bitcoin, it is the big dog.
Bitcoin was $15,800.
15, like a 1-5, yeah. Not a 5-0.
So if he'd have held on and kept things together, right now it's trading at about 70. It's a 4.5 times increase from what it was.
Okay, hold on though. Okay, here's the thing. So he had a bunch of his assets seized for this trial, right? And as part of the sentencing, he's supposed to repay $11 billion. But does he get to sell his seized crypto or whatever to pay that? Because if so, he's basically paying, like, all of his assets have then appreciated by 4.5 times between when they would have been, like, seized, I guess, and then when and now. And so does he have to pay, like, a quarter of the Bitcoin that he would have otherwise to repay the $11 billion?
Well, that
how
point,
does that work?
You know, crypto's just an asset unto itself, so they can just redistribute that to the people that it was taken from. Like if he had U.S. dollars, they would just redistribute that essentially to the people. But what you're asking is a very valid question because the feds are now in the point where, do you remember Silk Road, which was the marketplace in the early 2010s where you could just buy whatever with cryptocurrency? And it completely collapsed. It was like a dark web thing.
I remember hearing about it. I was like, that's the first, I think, dark web thing that I heard about. I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about dark webs.
Like if you used Bitcoin to buy salvia on Silk Road, you were like the most 2012 a person could possibly be. And they collapsed, but they seized a bunch of Bitcoin. The U.S. government has, from that one seizure, they have 30,000 Bitcoin available. What's up? What are you laughing?
Oh, so I'm sorry. Just so I asked the internet, when did the Silk Road collapse? And it says 1453, when the Ottoman Empire ended trade with the West.
They were way ahead of the curve on crypto. Way ahead. Those Ottomans. And we're like, this is going to be a big thing. Just hold on to it. Hold
just,
on.
Just hodl.
Listen, they got in at like 4 tuppence, which is like the best possible price. But the U.S. government has 30,000 Bitcoin from this one seizure, which is worth today at the market price over $2 billion. And I can't help but wonder, what's like the biggest government seizure of all time from a criminal activity?
I mean, could be that one.
Did you hear about, we'll talk about it next week maybe, but there was some heist in LA, like something straight out of a movie where people stole $30 million in cash.
What?
which is crazy because if you're not from the US, the highest denomination of currency is $100 because they don't want, you know, a lot of money to take up very little room. They want it to be bulky. And so a million, 30 million is like, it's like something out of Batman with the big duffel bags of money. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you get like your crews with your duffel bags, like walking out of the Vegas casino vault.
They're all killing each other on the way out. That kind of thing.
Betrayal. Double betrayal.
we'll go and research this, but we'll also link this in the link dump so that we can
double kill.
We can, so you can read about it yourself. Anything else for Follow Up Friday, Ash, though?
For me, yes. We were discussing Scottish wildcats, and someone pointed out that there was a cougar, a mountain lion scare in the
I wish
US,
I had a
Philadelphia
cat drop here. This is the closest one I got.
Hello.
Ashley's
That's
Pikachu.
So close. Where like they were locking down schools in Philadelphia. However, this is an article from People. I'll put it in the linked up. By Monday afternoon, officials announced that testing done on tracks and droppings left behind by the purported mountain lion indicated the animal was likely a large feral house cat.
So it's just a fat American
it's
cat.
It's just a fat ass cat.
It's probably like viral marketing for the Garfield movie that's coming out.
But it's so funny that people are like, it's a mountain lion. It's a bird. It's a plane. That's a fat ass cat. He's out. He's just looking for lasagna.
Well, we'll all be on the lookout for the giant fat cat that's terrorizing. Was it Philadelphia, you said?
Philadelphia. Oh, right. Sorry. No, Pennsylvania.
Oh, just Pennsylvania.
It was Lower Macungi, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place to vacation.
Next to Upper Macungi.
I wonder if it's anywhere near that town, Armpit City. Or have you ever heard about the town? I think it's in Pennsylvania. That's just on fire.
I have heard about that. Is it still on fire? It's like fire for eternity.
Yeah, it was a coal mining town and the coal vein in the earth caught on fire. And then it's just on fire until all the coal is gone, essentially under the ground. But all the toxic fumes seep out of the earth and the town is now uninhabitable.
Great. Well, it's a good thing that we didn't start the fire.
Jesus. <Ashley. laughs> All right, let me move on from that. I have a couple more things for Follow Up Friday. One is, in the grand tradition of Rooster Teeth podcast, we have now continued one in spirit where the Today I Learned subreddit on Reddit is now every couple of days, there's a Today I Learned from something that was on the podcast that morning, which is something we used to have on the Rooster Teeth podcast all the time. The Today I Learned subreddit just filled up with these little funny stories like dolphins taking LSD and things like that, which I got to say, I'm totally fine with. Obviously, I get a lot of information from Reddit and a lot of my news leisure time is spent browsing Reddit myself. So if people want to karma farm and, you know, post things on Today I Learned, I am completely fine with that. That
Go
is the circle
it.
Of life.
Circle of Reddit.
Jesus, can you imagine what that is?
Oh, man.
Okay, one last thing for Follow Up Friday for me. And that is, Ashley, we are now 5 days into April, 4 days past April Fool's Day. And Courtney Miller and Shane Topp from Smosh are still married. Either that or they are committed to this bit. Like,
so committed.
They're going to be having grandkids and laughing, going, I can't believe people are falling for this. So congratulations to the happy couple from Smosh.
Yeah, I don't think we said before that they were from Smosh.
Yeah, we kind of left that out, I guess. But people seem to know it was from Smosh, you know. But and Smosh is an interesting company because they've been around a really long time. And they had a whole thing with one of their main guys left. It used to be only two guys. One of them left. Then they got to the point where they were basically out of business. A company called Defy owned them. And that company went out of business. They essentially had to figure out a way to save the company. And then Rhett and Link stepped in, saved Smosh. And then Anthony came back, I think, at that point. And then Ian Anthony bought the company back from Mythical. And now they're doing fantastic. Like, ups and downs, but they've weathered a bunch of stuff to be where they are now.
Well, good for them.
And now they have a marriage in their story as well. So congratulations to the Millers.
Happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Let's hope so. Okay, well, before we go, I did want to say one thing. Next week, probably about the middle of the week, Tuesday or Wednesday, we're giving people the heads up so they can be aware of this ahead of time.
Yes, in case, I know there are some people who bank episodes and will maybe watch on the weekend or whatever, but just so you know, be aware of Tuesday, Wednesday next week. You might not want to sleep on those ones.
Right. We are going to have our first ever item available. That's the best way that I can say this. And this is the first item ever for the new company that we've created, the new podcast, which is now 3 months in. It'll be available for a limited time and then not available ever again. And it's not limited quantities. It's just limited time that's available. We don't want people to have to get up at like 4 a.m. And I want everyone who wants to be able to get their hands on this thing to be able to do it. So if you the kind of person who banks up episodes, just make sure you listen Tuesday of next week, let's say.
Yes.
All right.
We'll have a couple of other interesting things to talk about as well. So you want to be paying attention.
All right. Well, that does it for us today, April 5th, 2024. Ashley, we will be back to talk to them on Monday. I hope they'll be here as well.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
You got to say bye, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Bye, everybody.